Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
For the last few weeks, we have brought you a series of conversations on leadership. We call it Stepping Up, and it's all about talking with folks in and around the greater Boston area who are making deep change in their communities. Last week, we spoke with Jen Fagel of Commonwealth Kitchen, which is a nonprofit that helps support inclusive food entrepreneurship in the city of Boston. We've also heard from Geeta Pradhan of the Cambridge Community Foundation, Reverend Willie Bodrick II of the historic 12th Baptist Church, and Doug Rao, former president of Trader Joe's and founder of the nonprofit grocery store chain The Daily Table. Each conversation has keyed in on a specific moment or a decision or an approach to leadership. And as we look to explore what it takes to step up and lead, what it costs of those who do, and as we try to understand what might be preventing some of the next generation of leaders from stepping up and how we can help clear that path. So today, I'm very pleased to conclude this series with a conversation partly about being thrust into leadership. What does it mean to be asked to step up in a moment that turns out to be historic? And once you've made history, what do you do next to serve? Well, that's a question for Boston City Council President Kim Janey, who became Boston's first woman and first person of color to serve as acting mayor. Joining us here in Studio 2, former acting mayor of Boston and now CEO of Empath, an anti-poverty agency, Kim Janey. Madam Mayor Kim, welcome.
It is so great to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And I think the first thing I'll ask you is it fair to think about you who, as one who had some positions of leadership, but then was thrust into a whole new kind of leadership?
You know, for me, I have always believed either you step up or you step aside. And in my family, in my community, I saw examples of leadership. I saw the ways that community leaders organized. Heard some of your earlier segment around busing. As you know, I was thrust into that as a young child. So I, you know, saw examples of leadership and what it meant to love your community and work for a better community. And so I kind of carry that with me throughout my career in the nonprofit space. I have 25, 30 years experience working in the nonprofit sector, mostly here in Boston. I have taken that with me in elected office as I ran for District 7 City Council, Council President, and then serving as Mayor of Boston. I believe it is important for us to also look for and tap into a non-traditional leadership. And so I think, you know, leadership in Boston has looked a certain way, particularly if we're thinking about the highest office. Serving as mayor, it has always been white. It has always been male. But there are community leaders in every single neighborhood who deserve to be recognized. They deserve to have their voices heard. And the things that they care about, we need to all make sure that there is space for different voices when we think about leadership.
So that's intriguing because you said a second ago or a minute ago, I believe you either step up or you step aside. Are you saying that it is actually time for some members of our community to step aside?
Well, I was not saying that. I was not saying that at all, but if this isn't for you, because you've got to have courage, you have to be willing to make hard decisions, you have to be willing to go where no one has gone before. And if that isn't you or something that you want to do, then yes, you should step aside and let those who are willing to take those risks, who are willing to kind of be courageous and take those first steps and blaze that new trail, then we've got to make room. And so I'm not necessarily saying that there are folks who are in the way who need to step aside, but I am saying it is important to recognize leadership in non-traditional forms. It's important to cultivate leadership, make sure that you are pouring back. I had a lot of folks throughout my entire life, folks who mentored me, who coached me, who cared about me, who offered sound advice. And to this day, you know, I turn to folks for advice. And I think we all do or should And so it is important for those who have been in leadership to make sure that you are pouring into a new generation, for sure.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the people who've stepped up for you, supported you and mentored you. You know, as a young person, as an adolescent, I know there were people who wrote you off. You were pregnant at a young age. You have talked about kind of the culture of condemnation around that. You did not write yourself off.
No.
Who helped you have that strength?
You know, I think more than anyone, my daughter. I didn't have the luxury of being written off. I didn't have, even though people wrote me off, I couldn't let that be the end result. I couldn't let that be, you know, where I would end up because I had a daughter now. And so she really served as a motivating force to create better opportunities for her. And so I am grateful for all those who stood by my side and, you know, all my aunties and folks who were there. It's very difficult. I don't know how many of the listeners can relate, but being young, a teenager still in high school, scared, pregnant, you know, being told your life is over, feeling like your life is over, not, you know, knowing how you know, where you're even going to sleep the next day. You know, that things became very difficult at home. And so it was very difficult, but I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the individuals who poured into me, who stuck with me, and for the institutions who were there for me.
Sometimes when I would talk to you when you were acting mayor, there are questions you want to ask that you either know, I can't ask it this way right now, or they're not going to be able to answer it this way right now, but we're in a different place now. And I find myself wondering sometimes, were there moments when you were serving as acting mayor where you felt like you were teetering on a ledge? You were going to make a big jump, but you weren't sure you were going to cross the distance from this side of the chasm to the other side with something you were trying to do. Did you ever have those moments?
Well, you know, leading the city of Boston was an amazing experience. I love my city. There are so many beautiful, wonderful things about Boston that are still true to this day that I appreciated throughout my life. That being said, it is challenging. You know, there is a lot of work. There is, and not just because it's a big job. There's a lot of work when your job is, or as you see your job, is to right many of the wrongs of the past. So, you know, there is a 400-year history of discriminatory policies that, you know, I wanted to tackle. Now, you can't do all of that in a couple of months. You can't do it in the span of a year. You can't even do it in a 4-year term. So, you know, what I am proud about is planting the seeds and starting that work and creating a foundation for that work to continue.
COVID, you know, police scandals, Patrick Rose, Dennis White, our great racial reckoning in the United States. You're standing in this moment with so much reform that needs to be done, so much you've decided to do. And I do wonder if you ever thought, kind of, darn it, why am I the one that's got to do all of this? There have been people in this role before me. Why am I having to try to do it all?
Well, you know, those are conversations I think you have with your creator. Like, those are conversations. Why me, Lord? You know, or, you know, if that's what you need me to do, then send me, Lord. You know, that is what I'm going to do. Many folks said, you know, at that time that, you know, this had to be from on high, because, you know, here you are thrust into this at this time when all of this is happening. And so this must be, you know, what you have been called to do. If that is the case, I mean, I think my calling certainly is related to, I don't know if it, I was specifically called to be mayor, but I guess so. I was specifically called to lead at that specific time my city. And I wanted to answer that call, and I wanted to give it my all. And that's what I'm going to do in everything that I do. So whether it is public office and working in city government, if that is working in the nonprofit sector, if that is just how I care about my community, I want to give it my all, and I want to make sure that I am leaving this place better than how I found it. That's a principle, I think, that many of us were taught by our moms. You know, you go to a friend's house, I always got the lecture, make sure you leave it better than how you found it. And so that's what I wanted to do as mayor, and that's what I want to continue to do throughout my career and life.
So that idea of calling,
yes,
speaks to me. I understand that. And I wonder, so you're thrust into this role. You then ask to be given the role. The voters choose someone else. How did, looking back now, what's the train of thought there? So I was called to this role. It was an important moment. I stepped up in every way I could. But this is not what comes next for me. What happens in that moment?
Well, you know, I think for me, I have always tried to be very clear about the work, that it wasn't about titles, that we all have a role to play, and that the work is so big, you can still, you're going to be, the work has to get done. And so whether I am disrupting poverty as mayor of Boston, whether I am doing that through my advocacy for children in Boston Public Schools, whether I'm doing that in my new role as president and CEO of Empath, the focus has to be the work. And so that is what I believe my calling is. My calling isn't tied to specific titles, though now I've been racking up titles.
You have.
Doctor, mayor, president, CEO. It isn't about the titles. It is about the work. And for me, it is about how we strengthen our communities, how we provide supports for family and children, how we disrupt poverty and create opportunities using an equity lens for everyone in our city and our Commonwealth and our country. And so for me, the focus is about the work. And if as long as I stay focused on my calling and why I was created, my purpose in life, then I feel good.
Earlier in the conversation, you talked about some institutions that really stepped up for you when you needed it. Empath is the latest version of an organization that's been around a long time and that did step up for you.
Absolutely. And I am just so grateful to lead Empath as the new president and CEO. This organization has nearly 200-year history. Two important legacy organizations came together to form Empath. One was the Women's Educational Industrial Union, and the other was Crittenton. Mm-hmm. When I was that young teenager pregnant, it was Crittenton that provided services and an opportunity for me as a young pregnant teen to continue my studies, to stay in school, and to graduate with my peers on time. Back when I was in high school, which was a very long time ago, and it was very different. And so it was not typical to see pregnant teenagers in high school. Oftentimes, you had to quit school altogether. That was the end. As I said, people told me my life was over. But it was Crittenton that allowed me to continue my studies. So I took a semester. It was pretty much the semester from September to January of my junior year. And I went to school through Crittenton. I was able to continue my studies, my same courses that I was taking in high school at Crittenton. I had a lot of small group support around studies. And in addition to your academic work, they helped us with parenting. And so there were girls at Crittenton during the time that I was there from 13 all the way to 19. And maybe even 20, if you were still in high school. And so that was life-changing for me, life-changing.
So we have about a minute left. So what is a piece of wisdom that you gained from that life-changing experience that you're bringing into your service as the head of that organization now?
Well, it is the importance of giving people opportunity. It is the importance of mentoring and helping young people, helping young parents, helping parents regardless of their age. When you strengthen that family, you are strengthening community. And that is something that I learned after Crittenden, but as a young adult, as a young community organizer. And so leading in this new role, this organization that has a very unique model of direct service, of research and policy and advocacy, of economic mobility coaching and mentoring that really can take low-income parents and help them double their income in a short period of time. And so this is a proven method. We have a global learning network getting this word out all across the country. And I'm just so thrilled and grateful to be able to pay it forward and pour into new generations like was done for me. So
that is Kim Janey, who served as acting mayor of the city of Boston, the first woman, first person of color to do that, and is now CEO of the nonprofit organization Empath. Thanks for talking with us about stepping up.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great being here with
you. Great to have you.